In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So we're coming to the very end of the Coptic New Year. And as you all know, the last couple of weeks of the Coptic New Year, we always reflect on the theme of the end, the theme of the final judgment. And so the last 2 weeks have these similar readings. And today, as you heard, it's all about watchfulness. It's all about preparation. And next week, we'll read the same passage, but from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, although it's going to be a little bit different because next week is the 29th of Misra, which is the day in which we commemorate the three feasts, the Annunciation, Nativity, and Resurrection. So it'll be different readings, but typically that's the reading for the final Sunday of the year. And so we reflect on this theme of preparation and watchfulness. The Gospel passage today leaves us with a very important word. And that word is watch. And so, what does it mean to be watchful? When Christ says watch, what does that mean? We can think about watchfulness as a sense of vigilance. To watch is to be alert. To watch is to be cautious, to be attentive, to be on guard. Right? David prays in Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing." And so his prayer is for God to protect him, to be on guard on his behalf, right? And so watchfulness is like a spiritual sobriety. You know, when you say someone is sober, right? You say that to imply that he's not drunk, right? Because when you're drunk, your vision is blurred, you're drowsy, you're sleepy, you're not alert, right? And so the exact opposite of drunkenness is sobriety. But there's a spiritual sobriety that we're called to have, right? A watchful guard is always sober. He's always alert, right? He stands at the gate of a city and he can detect the enemy's coming. And he can even sense whenever an intruder is disguised in a different way, right? Because he's so alert, he's perceptive, right? And that's what it means to be watchful. But watchfulness isn't just limited to a defense. Again, that's why we always find watchfulness connected to another activity, right? Right? We link it to another word, watch and pray, right? Watch and pray. So the objective isn't just to stay on defense. But to be watchful or to be alert is necessary in order to pray, right? That's the goal. It's basically the framework that we have to establish to have a spiritual connection with God in order to perceive God. Because prayer is interaction with God, right? And how can you interact with someone that you don't notice? Right? Imagine you're on a date with someone and the whole time they're just on their phone, right? The whole time they're scrolling through social media or whatever, right? They're not really attentive. And so if they're not attentive, they're not interactive. And so if we're not attentive to God, we're not interactive with God. But the objective is that interaction. The objective is that prayer, right? So think about a guard that's stationed out at the gate of a city, right? As he's guarding that city, right, does he really have a relationship with the people of the city? Right? Does he have a relationship with the king or the emperor of that city? No, his job is just limited to guarding that city, to be watchful, right? Which is important, but the real objective in our life isn't just to stay on defense, to protect ourselves from the attacks of the devil, but the objective is to have a relationship with God, right? And so we're watchful in order to protect ourselves from those distractions so that we can commune with God, right? So we're watchful not just to notice God's presence, but to actually interact with Him, to find Him, to perceive Him, right? And this is the greatest aim of our spiritual life, right? There's a quote, it's typically attributed to St. Augustine, although I can't find it from any of his writings, so I don't know if he actually wrote this, but many people attribute it to him. He says that to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement. To find God is the greatest human achievement. And so we're watchful in order to perceive his presence, right? Is there a place or a time where God is not present? Right? David says, if I go into heaven, behold, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Where can I go from your presence? God is present everywhere. In the highs and the lows, the good and the bad and everything in between. In the darkest times of your life, even whenever you're stumbling in sin, he's still there. The only reason we don't find him isn't because he's absent. The reason we often don't find him is because we don't have the perception to see him. We're not alert enough to see him, right? And so, watchfulness is the attitude of our life in general. It's not just an attitude that we have to develop in order to pray or to come into the liturgy and to participate in the liturgy. It's the mindset of our entire life in order to perceive God throughout our daily walk in life, right? And so watchfulness is about that spiritual sobriety. It's to sense and to perceive God. That's the objective of our spiritual life. There's this story with Pope Kirillus when he was sitting with Tansamira. I don't know if any of you know about Tansamira, but she's a very holy woman that had a relationship with Pope Kirillus. And so as they were sitting together one time and they were having breakfast, Pope Kirillus just starts peeling this egg. And then he looks at the egg and he's just admiring the egg. Right? And he tells her, do you see how much God loves us? And, you know, he's just like drifting off in this meditation on God's love. Just from the beauty of this little egg. Like, you really get all of that from looking at an egg? Like, to me, it's just an egg. I just want to eat it and go on with my breakfast, right? But to him, he was watchful. He was perceptive. He was able to sense God's beauty, God's wisdom, the way he designed this egg, right? That's what it means to be watchful. And so, watchfulness isn't just beneficial. It's essential. Right? I'm talking to you about an essential quality that we must have in a spiritual life. Otherwise, we're just stumbling through life. Otherwise, we have no genuine connection with God. Then our connection with God is just intermittent, right? It's like the same connection a drunkard would have with a friend. Right? But if we're spiritually sober and alert, we're perceptive. We sense God in every place, at every time. Regardless of the circumstances, we always sense God. Remember whenever the people were wandering through the desert, and I've mentioned this example several times, right? And they're bitten by the serpents. How is it that God saved them? He said, take that same serpent that was killing everyone and put it on a pole and do what? Look at that bronze serpent, right? You have to fix your eyes on it. And so there's a mandate for watchfulness. You see what I mean? The way to salvation is through that watchfulness. We are saved only in as much as we are watchful, only in as much as we are alert, only in as much as we perceive God. Not just when it's obvious, not just when we come into the liturgy and we're praying all together and we know that Christ is present at the altar, but in every part of our life. Right, so we have to be attentive and alert to sense God. Remember whenever Elijah was going through this period of despair and he felt all alone. So God tells him, look, go up to the mountain and the Lord will talk to you. And he says, all right. So he goes up to the mountain. And what happens? First, there's this mighty wind, right? And so we expect God to speak in this mighty, powerful wind. but the Lord was not there. And after that, there was this mighty earthquake. And you would expect God to speak in His power and His might out of this powerful earthquake. But the Lord wasn't there. After that, there was a fire. And you think, okay, this is like one of the most powerful forces, right? Like the same way that God spoke to Moses in the thick darkness of the mountain, and you would expect God to speak out of that thundering voice, but the Lord wasn't in the mighty wind or the earthquake or the fire. After that, there was a gentle breeze, a little whisper. In Kings 19:12, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And in other translations, a still small voice. And so we have to wonder, why did God speak in that gentle whisper? Why not speak whenever you're in the mighty wind or the earthquake or the fire? Why not use your megaphone? That's a very good question to ask. Why not shout so I can hear you? Right? Don't we wonder why God doesn't shout in our life? Sometimes we want to hear Him, and we're like, God, like, raise your voice a little. I just want to hear you. He's like, nope. I communicate in the gentle whisper. I communicate in that still small voice. Why? Because it is only when you're perceptive that you can hear that still small voice, right? It's only when you're alert that you can hear that gentle whisper. And God wants to mold us to really live with that mindset. So He says, I come in that gentle whisper so that you can establish your life in a spirit of alertness, right? And in order to guide us to really strive to have the spirit of sobriety, of watchfulness, He says, learn to depend on my voice coming in that whisper. So you know the necessity of watchfulness, right? So you know the significance of alertness, right? Otherwise, if you expect me to always shout every time you turn, then you're living your life with no real watchfulness. You're living your life with no spiritual sobriety, right? God can just shout in your ears, and so you become less perceptive, right? It's actually a physiological phenomena, right? There's something in our mind called the reticular activating system, right? And whenever, like, you're in a room, you know, and you're talking to somebody, and there's a big crowd, and a lot of conversations in the background, your mind actually drowns out the rest of the noise, right? You can focus on the person that's talking to you, even though you could be in a very loud room. And so your mind can ignore all of that background noise whenever you're alert and sensitive to a specific voice, right? And the more alert you become, the more that reticular activating system becomes sensitive, right? And then the smallest little voice is detectable, right? And that's why I always say, like, I sleep through 100 different alarms whenever I try to wake up, because my reticular activating system is broken. But there's a spiritual perception that we must have. And so God speaks in that gentle whisper in order to refine that watchfulness and that virtue of alertness in our life. All right? So how can we have this perceptive or watchful mind? All right, so for starters, we have to recognize that God is present everywhere, right? In the good, the bad, the ups and downs, everything in between. The most dramatic moments and the most boring moments, right? Even the most mundane periods of your life, God is present. And this requires faith, right? Watchfulness or spiritual perception is dependent on faith. Spiritual perception is dependent on faith. Right? How many people looked for diamonds in their trash today? Or forget today, maybe you're in a rush to get to liturgy on time this morning. What about yesterday? or last week? I'm willing to bet no one. Because the thought of diamonds existing in your trash wouldn't cross your mind. There's zero faith in that possibility. So you don't look where you know nothing is found. Does that make sense? But if we have faith that something is there, we look. We're perceptive. We're attentive. Right? We're alert because we know what we're looking for is present. The same way as Zacchaeus went up on the tree and climbed up and was waiting for Christ to pass by because he saw him. He had faith that Christ is going to cross this path. Right? So he's looking for him. He fixed his eyes on him. Right? And so it's essential for us to have faith if we want to have this virtue of watchfulness and alertness. You'll only look for God if you believe he's truly present in those little parts of your life, the boring parts of your life, the mundane parts of your life. Jean-Pierre de Caussade says, the less there is to see, the more there is to believe. The less there is to see, the more there is to believe. Why is there more to believe whenever there's less to see? Because faith is much more necessitated. Right? Because there are so many layers that are covering the presence of God in these boring moments, in the challenges, in the painful, miserable times of your life. There are so many layers that are covering his presence that it requires all the more faith to recognize that he's really present under all of these layers. The less there is to see, the more there is to believe. And so the most ordinary moments of our life require the greatest amount of faith to trust that God is truly present in them. Right? Jean-Pierre de Caussade continues to say, what treasures of grace lie concealed in these moments, filled apparently by the most ordinary events? Do you recognize God the most in these ordinary events? To me, I recognize him in the extremes. So I'm sharing with you my personal struggles, right? Whenever there's a painful period, then like I can more easily run to God, right? I can cry out to him. Whenever life is going well, you know, there's a reason to thank him and to praise him and to glorify him, then I can run to God. It's easy. But it's in that middle ground whenever it's just like blah. Whenever it's like meh, you know, it's boring. It's like the ordinary events. You know, I don't really sense God. Right? But he's there. He's there in the most ordinary events of our life. And God's always accessible. Jean-Pierre de Caussade says, there's not a moment in which God doesn't present himself under the cover of some pain to be endured, or some consolation to be enjoyed, or some duty to be performed. All that takes place within us, around us, or through us, contains and conceals his divine action. I'll repeat that one more time. All that takes place within us, around us, or through us, contains and conceals his divine action. That's why faith is so essential. We gotta have faith that God's present everywhere. And if you have that faith, I promise you, with my life, you'll perceive him. You'll interact with him. Because once you find him, you can't help but interact with him, talk to him, listen to him. Think about all of the worthless or ordinary or boring parts of your life. Right? Think about those moments that seem empty. Do you really search for God in those moments? Or do you just throw your hands up in despair and say, well, this is just miserable, so I can't wait for this to be over. Right? I hate that mindset. Every time I would go to work in the morning when I was a physical therapist, the first thing I would hear is, I can't wait till 5 p.m. I'm like, so you're just going to drag your feet all day, living in this miserable anticipation of the day to end for you to actually enjoy your life? And it's not just like, I can't wait till it's 5 p.m., but it's like, I can't wait till it's Friday. Like, and that's like Monday morning, the first thing that I hear when I walk in the beginning of the week, I can't wait till it's Friday. Tuesday, oh, I can't wait till it's Friday. Wednesday, I can't wait. All right, like, so the whole week is just spent in bitterness and complaints. Like, what kind of life is that? And then when finally Friday comes along, it's like, oh, I can't believe it's finally the weekend. Oh my gosh, I'm not ready for the weekend. It's going to pass by so quickly. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, there's no satisfying you. But if you're perceptive, whether it's Monday, Friday, whether it's 8 a.m. or 5 p.m., God's present. He's truly present. But we need that spirit of watchfulness, the spirit of alertness, not to just guard ourselves, but to perceive God and to interact with Him. The watchful person is nourished by every crumb that falls at his feet, every crumb that life throws at him. He's nourished by that. He's satisfied with those crumbs because he has the eyes of faith to recognize the hidden grace in every situation. And so I'll just leave you with this little example. If you remember, whenever Samson was going to the land of the Philistines, and you know, he stumbles upon a lion, and you know, like anybody else who stumbles upon a lion, he just takes it down. And you know, that's exactly what he does. And then after he kills this lion, you know, just effortlessly, he goes on to continue his journey. Then he returns and he finds this lion, and this dead carcass that was just laying there is now filled with bees and honeycomb. And so he takes some of this honey and he eats from this honey that was growing in this beehive that was in the carcass of the lion. And he goes to the Philistine and he tells them this riddle. He says, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Okay? And then he tells them to solve this riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Right? And then, of course, they don't understand the riddle, and then his lovely girlfriend just goes to tell them what this riddle is all about because she just seduces him to tell him, which is a different story. I don't want to really get into that. But the objective of the story is that he says that there is something paradoxical about the source of this honey, right? What was paradoxical about it? What was ironic about it? It's that there was life from death in this example. It was because this sweetness, this honey, came from a dead carcass, right? If we think about this concept, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And he explained to him, he says, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? That's to say, what is more challenging than all those painful afflictions in your life, right? And what is more bitter than all of those crosses that continue to break you, right? But he's saying that's where your honey will come from. But he's saying that's your source of strength. And so it's because someone like Samson, who is a type of Christ, by the way, has that spiritual perception, went back and found that honey. If anyone would have come across this dead carcass, what's the first thing you would do? Is run the other way, right? And I'm telling you, we have a lot of dead carcasses in our life. I'll tell you, personally speaking, I have countless. And I don't want to go anywhere near those. Those are the burdens, the challenges, the afflictions, the pains, the miseries. But out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And so that's where we'll find our honey. That's where we'll find Christ. Christ is our honey. Christ is our true wine. He's our joy, right? And if we live with the Spirit, We don't just find him, but we taste his sweetness, and life becomes pleasant and joyful. I pray that God gives us the spirit of watchfulness, that his name may be glorified. Unto him is due all glory forever. Amen.